Yet the world has a vital interest in Saudi Arabia's fate. It is the biggest oil exporter and home to Islam's two holiest sites. It is central to the Gulf, the Arab region, and the Islamic world. Successful reforms would help spread stability to a region in chaos and dynamism to its economies. A more normal Saudi Arabia should moderate the Islamic world by example and because the flow of petrodollars to zealots would slow. Failure, by contrast, could spread turmoil to the Gulf, which broadly avoided the upheaval of the Arab Spring of 2011. It is thus worrying that Saudi Arabia faces such daunting problems. Volatile oil revenues make up more than 80% of government income, the IMF reckons. Even with rising crude prices, the country is grappling with a large budget deficit. For all the gains in health and education, GDP per person has been flat for decades. Saudis work mostly in cushy government jobs. Oil wealth has hidden a woefully unproductive economy and fueled Islamic ultra-Puritanism around the world. To his credit, Prince Mohammed recognizes that change is needed. However, he is unnecessarily adding to his task. Abroad, he has proved rash. His war against the Houthis, a Shia militia in Yemen, now centered on the battle for the port of Hodeidah, has brought disease and hunger to Yemenis, a missile war over Saudi cities, and embarrassment to Western allies that provide weapons and other help. Last year, Saudi Arabia sullied itself by detaining the Lebanese Prime Minister, Saad Hariri, releasing him only under international pressure. With its main ally, the United Arab Emirates, or UAE, it has led the way in isolating Qatar, a contrarian emirate, by cutting land, sea and air links. The Saudis even want to dig a canal to make the place an island. In doing so, they have split the Gulf Cooperation Council, the club of oil monarchies. As the Arab Cold War spreads, Iran and other foes are gaining advantage. At home, Prince Mohammed has developed a taste for repression. The number of executions has risen. More dissenters are in jail, among them, perversely, women who campaigned to drive. Everything, it seems, must be a gift from the Al Sauds, the name of the country, the oil bounty, and now the right to drive a car. He has also adopted the view that all Islamists, even the non-violent offshoots of the Muslim Brotherhood, are as grave a menace as Sunni jihadists and Shia militias. Thus, the Saudis and Emiratis are leading a counter-revolution against the Arab Spring and hope of democracy. Sadly, America has all but given them carte blanche.